Hey guys, David here. So we're catching up this afternoon with Felicity, the Sydney builder chick. She's traveled an hour in to come and have a catch up with us. Unfortunately, our co-working space shut us out at 5 o'clock. Pretty disappointed on that one. So we're here at the Bondi Junction Library, just having a little catch up with her. We believe she is the youngest qualified female builder in Australia, which is really, really impressive. She's got a good network with all the other females in the trade as well, which is super cool. Super passionate about building. I've never heard someone talk about loving construction so much. Real energetic girl, easy to talk to. So take a little listen around her story. She's done quite a few collabs with other like bigger brands in Australia around promoting construction. And she loves building, and she's had quite a little bit of exposure towards sales, pricing, and quoting, and measuring up jobs for one of her past bosses. So take a look, and if you're another female in the trades and you want to jump on our podcast, share your story, comment your name below, and we'll get in touch. Thanks very much. You'd be perfect.
Awesome, thank you. I'm still very new to the building side of things.
Yeah, so, that's all good.
Yeah, so still getting new to it, but like I've completed my apprenticeship and I've done that.
Nice.
For, been a carpenter for 5 years now, so.
Yeah, nice.
And it's great, wouldn't look back at it. It's just now trying to build up the reputation and yep. more experience, because you can never be unqualified for anything. So
no.
Just getting the more skill until I'm like, right, yeah, I'm ready to go on my own, and then
nice.
Start getting in the building. So I don't know if you know, but Carpentry Australia,
yeah,
I've teamed up with them so they can get my name out there a little bit more with other companies.
Sick.
It's just getting the experience of different builders. So I'm like an ambassador for them. We've partnered up, so I'm part of their team now. So I
Me.
Do the behind the scenes and the social stuff with them, getting some content so that
yeah.
they can open up a pathway of trying to get more women contacting Carpentry Australia and
that's
how they can help them.
That's literally
so,
one
yeah,
of my
so
questions. But
that's,
yeah.
yeah, they've said, all right, let's team up with you because you can try and hit that target
and
then you can engage with everyone.
So what made you want to get into it? Like how did you, as a female perspective, like how did you, what enticed you to do building?
School.
No way.
Yeah, literally school. Everyone, every time I tell someone at school, they're like, are you serious? Like,
yeah.
Chose timber as an elective when I was in year 9 and I absolutely loved it. I'm like, okay, wow, like I'm good at using my hands.
Sweet.
Got all A pluses. I'm like, why not? And then I chose construction and I'm
nice.
Like, this is my go-to. I love this.
Did you go to a girls-only school?
No. Girls-only schools don't have that yet.
Oh, really?
So it's still very new. But no, I went to a co-ed school, which gave me the opportunity to do construction.
Yeah.
So sweet. Yeah.
So you did, you went through there, and then obviously it was boys and girls in the
yes.
in the woodwork classes,
yes.
yeah? Was there like big ego battles around male and female? In the...
Oh, 100%. The boys always like, we got this, like, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
I wouldn't put ego before you, but
yeah,
it was good. And we were the first, it was me and another girl in the class, and we were the first girls to do construction the whole entire school. So yeah, just setting that, the benchmark, so then it's like, all right, girls, come on.
Yeah,
if we
nice.
Can do it,
stand
anyone
up,
can do it.
Do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and it's great.
So did you finish and go through seventh form? Or do you call it seventh form?
Sinful, no.
Year 12, year 13?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So year 12 is the last year, but I didn't go all the way through year 12 because
okay.
I got bullied in high school.
Oh, God.
Everyone thought that was a little bit different because I wanted to do carpentry as, you know,
really?
As a job.
So was
yeah.
it like a female-to-female bullying thing?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
That's
like,
so
why can't you be in... Yeah, like school, high school's the worst, especially going to a private school too. It's very like...
Yeah.
I was like, I want a Hilux. I want to do this and this. And the girl's like, I want a Merc and go shopping and buy this.
Yeah,
so
be a Barbie
like,
doll.
Yeah. So there was a bit of a difference and I was like, I don't think me staying in school is going to...
Beneficial.
Be beneficial for
yeah.
me. So... I decided to leave and look for an apprenticeship
yeah,
straight away.
Good on you. And so, was there like, so you'd obviously, when you were looking for an apprenticeship, you would say, hey, listen, I've been doing carpentry at school. This is what I'm into.
Yeah.
What was the initial reaction from like employees and how many people did you ask?
Oh, you know, I just chucked out the book probably last year of how
oh,
many
wow.
people that I caught. I caught over 200 people in Sydney and Queensland wide because my
gosh.
Nan and Pop own apartments in Queensland. So I thought if I can find a job up there, even though my parents said no,
yep.
we want you to stay in Sydney. I was like, okay, no worries. I even looked for,
sorted.
Yeah, 100% even looked for jobs in the army if I couldn't find anything. I said, that's my backup option. But
wow.
my parents said, no, we want you to stay here. So,
man, so
yeah.
I just want to tailor in two things there. So obviously you, you teamed up with Carpentry Australia there now.
Yes.
And when you were looking for jobs, there was no female role. So how many years ago was this? Five years ago. Yeah.
5 years ago. It was a lot harder than what it is today. A lot of people are open to hiring females.
Yeah.
Back then, I had no support because there wasn't a lot of females like me.
Yeah.
There wasn't really someone to branch out to be like, hey, can I get some advice off you? What's good? What's not? So it was really hard to find that platform of communication where other women can contact and like, this is what you can do. So that was hard.
Yeah.
But it was really difficult finding the job, but you just got to stay consistent with it. And once your foot's in the door, your foot's in the door. It's the experience that you need.
Shout out to your first boss for giving you a crack.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, only 3 months. I only stayed with for 3 months. And the boys were absolutely awful on site.
Really?
Yeah.
Man,
awful.
How many companies did you have to go through to finish it?
So this one, so I've got the first one that I was with for 3 months, and then I was with big shout out to JP and JK Constructions.
Nice.
They've closed now, unfortunately.
Okay, but, we'll tag them anyway.
Yeah. They're in, I think, they're up the coast, but they've changed the name of the company. I was with them for 8 months, and then they made me redundant. Then I was with another company.
Yeah.
Stayed with them for 3 months.
Yeah.
Then was with the other company that I was with. And then he closed his business because he wanted to become a paramedic. So the company that I'm with now, Edgecliff and All About, they're amazing. So
sweet.
Been with them for a year, nearly a year now. So
yeah,
five.
That's good, eh? So you got qualified and finished with them?
No, I got qualified and finished with the last company that I was with.
Yeah,
and then he pushed me to do my builders because you get paid more and you get recognized more.
Yeah, 100%.
I was like, okay. And then when I called Master Builders, they're even like, hey, you can be the youngest qualified builder if you complete it within these days.
And yeah,
I was
nice.
Like, sweet.
Done.
So, done it. So, yeah, I am the youngest qualified builder in Australia.
Congratulations.
Well done. Female builder.
I was actually going to say, because when we reached out to you, you had your age in there. I was like, shit. And that's why I rung you today, because I was like, I need a bit of background. Like, what's going on here? Yeah, sweet. Okay, so the company you're with now, how different is the culture versus the last couple companies that you're with, culture-wise?
Oh, so different.
Yeah.
So different. Most people... I'm probably, when I was speaking to the boys, they said, you are the easiest person to get on with.
Boom,
they've had other girls before, and they said, it was hard. The way boys talk, they don't sometimes pick up on what they're saying. They just
spit it out,
they
man.
Just say whatever's on their mind. They speak the truth.
We don't think so. We speak. Yeah.
Yeah, but last time they were very like, they didn't really click with the girls there, but I've just come in and I'm the very exact same. Like, I'll speak what's on my mind.
Yeah.
The truth hurts, but lying hurts more sort of thing. So
yeah, I
just said
sorry,
what
did you just say there?
The truth hurts, but lying hurts more.
I like that one.
So I'm always just I'll just speak what's on my mind, say the truth.
Sure.
And they're like, you're so easy to get on with. It's great where other people are a bit of slow burn.
Beat around the bush.
Yeah, this is going to take a while. Yeah, and I'm like, no, we're all like, definitely not a boy, but like we're all mates here. We work with each other. We see each other more than our family. And we do day in, day out, Monday to Friday.
Like, 9 hours a day, 4 hours a week.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, just be honest with one another. Like, practically your second family.
Did you struggle with like the paperwork side, or were you more of a practical kind of girl? How'd you go with like the theory stuff?
Theory, I mastered it,
believe it
or not, because doing doing my timber and construction, when you have your theory side, getting into the books, I didn't struggle in learning something that I really wanted to learn in, so that was fine. And even on site, I'm doing something that I really want to learn, so
that
I aced
easy.
It. Yeah, it all came to me as second nature, but doing anything else like English or this, it's like,
can't do it.
Because it's not my forte. So,
how did you manage doing your paperwork throughout your apprenticeship? Did you pick one night a week? Were you doing like weekends, or how were you managing that?
Well, the time that I was starting my apprenticeship, I was just signed up for Construction Training Institution, CTI.
Cool.
Which is a program that you can potentially fast track your apprenticeship because you're not going into TAFE once a week or block unit.
Yeah. That's too slow, I reckon. Don't you think? So you do have an opportunity to speed your theory up.
Because COVID hit though, we were only allowed to go into the workshops once a month.
Yeah.
So our practical got held up quite a lot, but our theory was up to us. So we could do whatever theory we wanted in our own time because of COVID.
Yeah, nice.
So I've mastered through my theory. I wrapped up my first and second and third year within 2 years.
That's good.
I done it so quick, and they're like, okay, we can book you in for this week and this week for a full week just for you to do your practical because COVID stuffed everyone up in the industry.
Yeah. So I don't know too much about the Australian system, but how many like inspector sign-offs do you have to get qualified as a builder in Australia?
As a builder,
because there's unit standards.
Yeah. You've got so many units. I think at the moment they changed it, but when I'd done it, there was think 15 different units, but because they have to update it every, I think, 2 to 3 years because of people possibly sending their stuff out and be like, oh, copy this, and that's how it's happening.
You're keeping it like
updated. Yeah, they have to constantly change the questions, so it makes it, you know, no one's forging the system.
Yeah, for sure.
So normally the master builders that I've done it through, every building association's different, but I've done it through master builders, and I managed to do that within 2 years.
Nice.
So all my theory was online, which came to me as second nature because I've done my carpentry apprenticeship. Yep. This won't be no different, except it's got a bit of a tweak to it, and there's more units and what carpentry holds.
Cool, cool.
And then, yeah, done my practical in with them, and I got to do my practical on site. Since the company I work with are builders, I just had to take photos of what I was doing.
Yeah, they'd records see of that. Work.
Yeah, just records of it, and they were like, yep, sweet, we'll sign you off.
That's so good, eh?
Yeah, which was heaps easier for me.
What's like some stuff you really enjoy in the building game and stuff you don't really enjoy? Fun parts, worst parts?
Honestly, every day is a good part, really. You're being creative with your hands, and you're testing your knowledge. You're just like, all right, this is what we're going to do today. Like, I think it was before, when I first started with them, we were digging out and we're doing dinsel walls for a basement. They had to have a pump underneath the ground for the basement to filtrate the water. And I was like, what is this? Like, just learning shit like that. It's, oh, excuse French.
No,
just learning,
I swear all the time.
Learning stuff like that. It's just like, okay, it's just you're being creative, and that's using your hands. It's what you know,
yeah, for sure.
This is what you do.
Did you, are you finding a lot of stuff you'll do now, like as a qualified builder, that you had like never popped up in the theory stuff, but you were just using practical knowledge to kind of like figure it out as you go?
Yes. Yeah. Some things, like going into more depth about your fix outs. Yeah. That's really fine detail work. A lot of stuff isn't mentioned with the finer detail
in
work.
They just go into finishings, but then just all like different types of
exactly with your quirks and this, that, where when you're actually there and you got a client that's like, this needs to be perfect, it's like, okay, you really got to take a step back and really think and be like,
no,
wow,
one told me it would be this hard.
Harder than what the book tells us to do.
Absolutely. I always struggled with theory stuff, to be fair. I was always more, I reckon I'm slightly ADHD, but I love just doing stuff, and if I fuck it up, I'll redo it straight away. So
100%.
How do you find working with your current crew of boys, and is it quite competitive on site?
Oh, we love having a competition. We're like, oh, we'll race you, who gets this done quicker.
Your boss must love that, sure.
Oh, he loves it, because it's like, oh, look, if you're going in there getting it quick, but your work's efficient and good, well, then I'm not going to have a problem with it.
From an estimating perspective, that's like the dream team, because he's not worried about labour hours.
we're pretty good and productive. It's just the main mindset that our boss tells us to do is get it good, but get it done quickly.
So if you
can build up the skill of getting something really neatly done, and it's fine detail, but then get it done quickly.
Yeah, it's a win-win.
Like, you're a win-win. That's right there.
From the business side of building, they always say like putting a project to a client is like a triangle. So you've pretty much got like quality, speed, and cost, but you can only pick two out of three. But it kind of sounds like your boss wants all three, which is mission impossible.
Yeah, sometimes, but you've got to have a lot of trust in your workers. And we're pretty open and honest with him. Like, if we're like, oh, we didn't get all this done in one day or whatever, he'll be like, all right, go back, smash it out. And he understands it, because he was on the tools for God knows how long before he started his business. So he can reflect in a way that you're not always going to get it done, but just as long as it's good to the eye and everything looks great with it, I'm not complaining. And if there's no callbacks, You've done your job properly.
That's the dream, eh?
Exactly.
What kind of work are you currently doing at the moment? Like bigger stuff, smaller stuff?
Well, we do everything. So
they maintenance, renovations,
When you do, when you're a subcontractor to a big building company, you have to go and get the job done. But when a client's moving, they might pick on things. So it's little maintenance
defects,
here. That's where it stuffs you. But at the moment, I've been doing fix outs.
Nice.
So I've been doing that for a while, and I'm like, oh, please give me something, change it up. So yeah, I think this week and next week I'll be doing cladding and eaves. So it'll be a good change up, because I miss the cladding and eaves. So
nice. What's your current toolkit looking like, and who's your favorite tool supplier? Tough one. If you shout them out, you might get some freebies.
Well, Carpentry Australia with Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's been amazing. I think I'm at the moment, I've always had Makita since day one to now. I am probably going to make the change, because what Carpentry Australia and Milwaukee can offer me is a lot better than what Makita can offer me. No offense, Makita. But
you got to keep up, man. Keep up or get shown out. Yeah.
So, but being with Carpentry Australia, they've opened up a lot of doors and opportunities for me. So me promoting them with Milwaukee, then it's like, oh, you can have this or have this. Sweet. So it's like, okay, well, if I'm going to get this, well, then I have to promote these guys, which means I have to use them to get content. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're pretty big on your Instagram stuff. What was the inspiration behind that? Was that just play around with it, or
had a little fiddle. I was like, you know what, I'm so young, why don't I just create a little Instagram for the young girls out there, and if I could get some work out of it. But it's boomed over the years, and a lot of people have branched out to me, be like, hey, can we collab with this? Can we collab with that? Like, I've signed a contract with Stabila, so I'm part of their True Pro Ladies program this year. So.
What's that involved in that? Like, I'm interested in other people's...
So that's just, obviously, you have to sign and make sure that you meet the requirements and you're following the steps by steps, month in, month out. But they have a day in the life video trading. So you do it, what your day is like in as a carpenter, as a tradie. And then you've got January, February, March, all the way to December. Yep. You just have to upload, I think, 2 videos or 3 videos and then 2 photos or whatever.
Me.
And then they just go through and just pick, make sure that you meet your requirements, you know, and breach them. And then, they post it. So it's practically, you're rather than them finding content, you're bringing content to them and then they post it. So,
there's been no ties or hasn't crossed over with Carpentry Australia?
No, because kind of they're with them as well. So Stabila, Milwaukee, King G, all those branches are with Carpentry Australia. And if me going out to branch with other big brands and collabs or whatnot, they're actually open to it because I'm bringing more to the table for them. And they're open with new different things. Like, I've just recently linked up with Tradie Spec, and that's a company. Yeah. They're in Melbourne as well, but they're in Sydney. And if you can't afford to buy a car outright, you can rent it through them. And it covers insurance, everything, your toolboxes that you want included, and all that, get that all for you. Yeah. So it's a lot cheaper than what you have to pay finance on a car. Yeah. So they do that. And I just said, this would be great with Carpentry Australia because what you're offering can help apprentices pay off cars that includes this rather than having to pay off a debt.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I spoke to them about that and they're like, oh, we're interested in that. So me going out there to find other companies, other people that want to collab with, is only doing better for Carpentry Australia to get their name with or team up with more companies and branches.
So, yeah, that's so cool. I feel like in NZ we don't have enough stuff like that. We've got a lot of stuff like Mates in Construction to help with like mental health side of things.
Yes,
but
it
sounds like in Aussie there's so many more, I don't know, companies like with like workwear and tools. And I mean, Carpentry Australia, what's like their main motive? Just to get more people promoting,
keeping the hammer swinging longer.
That's their mission statement.
So they want to keep tradies in, but they want to keep them on the tools on site longer. And doing that, you got to have your mental health needs to be up to date. You need to be good, making sure everyone's okay, only everyone else but yourself. Just keeping them like up to date with, these are the tools that are going to help you, blah blah blah. Just all these things.
Save time, stuff quicker.
So that's why they've numbed it down to be like keeping the hammer swinging longer. So,
yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's catchy. So I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's good. How many is in your current crew that you're working with now?
I think there's 10 of us.
Sure, that's quite a big team.
How
does the like internal company structure work? If you have an idea, like obviously there's your boss, there's a project manager on each side.
Yes, so because they're 2 companies put together. So they're the big company that just have
group housing company.
The
project management company for like group
bills.
Cut it out. It's fine.
I'm trying to think what it's called.
So Edgecliff Homes are the project manager.
Yeah, so they're the actual company. So they're the project, like the project homes company.
Yes.
But now they're going into more custom design stuff, and then all about carpentry. About carpentry is the one that have the carpenters.
You don't work for Edgecliff as an employee.
No, I'm actually employed for All About Carpentry, but because they're together now, it's like a collaboration rather than them subcontracting tradies in. They work with Carpentry Australia, so they've got the tradies when they need them, which is smart. So,
I see.
Yeah, we do that. So we've got Nathan, All About Carpentry owner, is the owner of his company, but also project manager for Edgecliff. So we've got the 2 owners of Edgecliff, and then we've got 2 supervisors, including Nathan, and then that's it. And they've probably got a couple of office ladies, and then we've got Nathan, the owner of All About, and then all the boys underneath him. Myself.
So. Yeah, so you're the only female at the company?
Yes, I am.
Nice. How good was the Christmas do last year?
Oh, it was good.
What did you guys
do? We had to wake up a bit early, but that's okay. We're like, come on, we want to sleep in here. This is what you want to do. So we're like, all right. We went go-karting.
Nice.
So we've done that early in the morning. Then we went back to, we have display houses. So we just went there, had a barbecue, had a breakfast, had some beers, and then we went straight to the pub. So we spent
the
whole afternoon there. The pub started, we started drinking probably about, when did we get back from go-karting? Probably 9 o'clock in the morning. Had a couple of Beveraginos.
Who was the last man / woman standing?
Oh, everyone went home. I think I was the last one there.
Oh man,
and
doing it for
the
girls.
Boss man, yeah. When we were out with the boys, it's like, it's the boys. So, We had the boss, myself, and a couple of other boys that stayed back later too.
Nice.
It's like, it's a Christmas party. You want to stay there as long as possible. It's like,
yeah,
you
that's
know.
Cool.
So yeah, a bit seedy the next day, and had a family dinner as well. So yeah. Family lunch. So I was like, oh,
that's a tough one,
guys.
To get up for.
Yeah, it was a little bit, but no, it was good. It was nice. It was good Christmas
party. Do you have any other girlfriends that went into the trades with you at the same time, or have you picked up like a lot of kind of girl mates in the trades since doing your Instagram and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I've actually made the friends along the way.
That's so cool.
I've left school. We have no contact of everyone in school. Yeah. I've went my own way, and I've had to really pick everything up for myself. And then being where I am today and having the Instagram, being able to connect with people, because social media is such a big platform for everyone these days.
I've learned so
amazing.
Much in the last 12
I know,
months.
It's great. So having that has made me branch out with everyone. So I've really made a lot of friends throughout the way of being on social media, which is amazing. It's, if you're ever stuck, it's the next thing to go to. It's like, go to social media.
Yeah.
You're going to get so much support and help there, and you're going to create a community that you can talk to everyone with.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, it is great.
Have you had possible like job opportunities, like work jobs, come like cashies and stuff potentially come through?
Yeah, we've had a lot come through.
Do you do them, or do you say to your boss, hey, man, put me on a commission structure?
Like, well, I'd say to him, if we've got space, because how busy we are. If you've got time, he'd be like, we can do this and whatnot. And I was like, hey, sweet. But my boyfriend's actually a carpenter as well.
Oh,
so
there you go.
And his brother's a carpenter as well.
Oh,
so
man.
And his dad. So
I can imagine what you guys talk about at Christmas dinner.
Oh, and his poor mum's just sitting there like, no. She'd be a second year apprentice. She'd be a second year for sure with how much knowledge she picks up off all of us. So so we just sit there, and if I need a hand, his brother has a company as well. So we all just be like, all right, what are we going to do here? Or if they're busy, we do our own thing. And he's a really good carpenter as well. So
that's so cool.
It's like, he smashes it, get it done, and I'm the really attention to detail. So you've got those two together. It's like a house on fire. It's like,
I was going to say.
Yeah.
So do you have any knowledge in like the business aspect of that stuff, pricing stuff? Like what's your kind of...
Yes. So after I left high school, I couldn't get an apprenticeship straight away, unfortunately.
Because
it was that really weird time of year where people weren't looking to hire.
Yep.
So I actually went to TAFE and I'd done my business administration.
Nice.
So I've got that little bit of the business side up my sleeve, and then also being with the company that I was with last time gave me the experience and the freedom to go measure up jobs, do all that, the supervising, making sure the materials are on site for us to start, so then we can start as a team. Just giving me that free range to be able to be like, all right, this is your job, you start it, finish. I'll be here in the background to help you, or for
if
advice
you need it,
if you need it. But having that and giving that experience to your apprentices really gives them the courage that, okay, you're not getting chucked down the deep end, because there's really no support from you finishing your apprenticeship.
No way.
No, there's not enough support out there. You're just chucked in the deep end if you want to go on your own.
Yep.
So having that helped me.
That's so good. I feel like that's one thing that TAFE, and in New Zealand we call it like Polytech, but they do no courses, like no studies or anything on like the business side, the sales side, the quoting side, like the tax side. I feel like it's really undermined.
Yeah.
But, so you would have been exposed to a bit of that obviously with your last role, yeah?
Yes, yes.
Were you doing any like quoting off your measure ups, or were you kind of just outline the information for your boss?
No. He would get me. He set me up with a little program. I think it was also on Xero. We had heaps of other programs.
Yep.
But he'd start me off little steps and be like, right, so go out there and measure it up. Once I got really good at that, and you know, because all it takes is for you to forget one thing, and then it's like, oh shit, you didn't allow for this framing timber or the bugle.
There's $500.
Yeah, and that's out of your own money too. So that's why. So that's why just getting me to get everything from A to Z in the measure up, then he'd be like, all right, you've completed that. And he'd go out and have a look himself to make sure that I did include everything.
Nice.
And then he'd start showing me behind the scenes of the quoting and everything. So I've had experience in doing that, and then me doing a job on my own without his guidance.
That's so good.
It's given me the confidence and like, okay, all right, do this, do that. And just double checking it. Take your time with it, because you rather quote, you'd be like, all right, to the client, I'll hand the quote in at the end of this week. You'd rather have that week of breaking down everything, going over everything, then you'd be like, oh, quick, rush it, and then it's like you've missed all this. That can be the worst mistake that you possibly can do.
100%. I think that I know that's why our business is so busy, because we deal with so many builders that are like flat tack, and they try and do pricing and mix in the day with project management and site visits, and they forget all this stuff.
It becomes so overwhelming.
And I was like, oh man, like estimating and pricing is something that your phone needs to be on airplane mode, and you've got nothing else going on, and then you don't forget stuff.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And you know, it's hard as well, because the economy is growing and prices are changing every single day. Like, they're going up, down. So it's hard, because back then we had a chart from Bunnings, because Bunnings was our main supplier over here. So we'd just go through Bunnings and we'd have a chart of all the things, how much they cost and what we needed. So I just go back to the chart and be like, all right, we need this, and put all the prices together and add the commission on everything. But now that the prices are changing, it's harder.
You gotta keep up to date.
You gotta keep up to date with it. And constantly having a sales rep here is really important, because you can get the best prices for your sales rep. So you just get the fixed price off the website. Then when you go to your sales rep, you're probably getting an extra 20% off, and then there's your profit money right there without having to raise your margin. So
that's so good.
Little things like that that I keep in mind. I'm like, okay, right. And then at the end of it, I'm like, all right, well, we've smashed that out. Always allow myself an extra 3 days. We smashed that out within a couple of days. Yeah. I'm on site when it's my job. I'm like, come on, boys, let's do this.
So I want to pay rises.
So doing that, it's like, but being consistent with it at the end of it, I'm like, wow, we've done really good. And then just having a race with yourself. I managed to get it done this quick. How quick can I get it done next time? I never get bored with my job, but some people are like, oh, doing the same thing over and over again. I'm like, race yourself. Challenge yourself. Like, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Keeping your mind occupied. Doing this is not a race against the clock. It's a race against yourself to see how good you are, but how quick you are.
Yeah,
so true. I try to say that to people.
Yeah, that's good.
That's great advice. I'm like, give it a go. Trust me, you never get bored. So yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's cool. Do like with your, I don't know how big the job you're on now, but like, do you do any like liaising or talking with subbies when they're coming on site? Do you have any coordination type stuff?
Because our boss really sits behind the scene with this, and he just tells us the days we're working there, because he doesn't come on site to this job.
Yep.
It's 40 homes in one street. We're more than halfway now, and I'm like, yes, it's only taken a year to get this far. I'm like, please, I just want to get off this job and get done with it.
Go somewhere else. Find a new local cafe.
We're doing that at the moment. But yeah, the boss kind of sits behind the scene and he goes, all right, this is how many days that I've allowed you guys to do it. Just go in, get what you need to get done, and keep in contact with the supervisors and the project managers, what they want done next. So then you're keeping things flowing.
Yeah,
nice. So we just take things into our own hand and be like, all right, this fix out's ready, we'll do that, or this fit off's ready, or we got to go do this, or allow this day to do maintenance. So we kind of have free range with the other subcontractors that are on site, including the project managers, to see what we want to do next and what they need done next.
Nice.
So
do you enjoy the supervision side, or like from the site, like that perspective, or do you find yourself more like hands-on person?
Both, I love both, because you're getting the experience in both. So you've got the hands-on experience where you're getting the job done, but then also having that experience in the whole management side of things, of delegating the work, making sure things are done on time to requirements.
It's a huge game.
It's huge, but it's a test. It's like, you've been given this job, don't close this opportunity. Like, just get it done. Exactly. So I personally would say I love having both experiences, because you're only getting better at the end of the day. If you can juggle two things at once, then...
Yeah, I feel like it's... it depends what company you work for, but I feel like some people, if they don't push themselves to do more, like, for example, if you're a commercial carpenter, you might just build wall framing for, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
Or you might just hang doors for, like, 3 weeks straight. But I think it's really good to work, and probably deeper for the industry as well, is to work for smaller companies that do everything, like maintenance to renovations to extend.
Yeah.
Also be exposed to like a little bit of client side as well, because I mean, on the business side of building, dealing with clients is so big.
Yeah.
Do you ever talk to clients and see them when they're on site?
Yes, when I was with not so much with this company, because it's a
more group home.
Understood. More project home, so we just deal with the contractors and the project managers. But the company that I was with last year, actually going in and being like, okay, all right, what do you want done? Show me what you need done. Is there any other things? Like having the one-on-one with the client they want done, right? It's great. It's great. And especially when they see you rock up, they're like, oh.
A chick?
Hello. Yes, come in. I'm like, thank you so much. Like, and just little things like taking your shoes off of the door, they're like,
yeah, wow. She went
like,
to a private school.
Yeah, writing the notes down, like absolutely everything. Is there anything else that you want done? Is there anything that I need to specify in my notes so we're clear and we're both on the same page? Bring in a whiteboard and be like, all right, just drawing it out so they understand, because in your head you're like, yep, you've got your head all wrapped around it, but in their perspective they're like, what are you talking
about?
They have no idea. So having, and even on a quote, like you say, oh, notched bulkhead or do this or do that, they're going to be like, straightened bearers, they're going to be like, what's that? So really breaking it down and specifying everything in the quote. Like breaking it down so a toddler understands, because this stuff's so big, they have no idea, especially if it's a single mum or a guy that has no idea what the building industry is. That's how a lot of people get stuffed over, is because people don't break it down. And they're like, here you go. And they're like, wow, why is this so expensive? Like, it's not breaking down here. Going back to the drawing board where they understand everything, then you're clear, then they're happy. And that's how you really win someone over, is if you're really specific with them so they understand it.
Absolutely. So when you were taught that pricing, were you doing that in Excel or was that all through Xero?
I've done that all through Xero. But then I'm trying to think what other program we used. We had another program once I worked out all the costs in.
Yeah.
Then I transferred that onto his...
BuildExec?
Yeah, I think it's
like
that.
Like a project management software?
Yeah. It's got all the T's and C's and then the payment methods and what we go through. And then it has literally a chart of the items that we need, what we need it for, and how much it costs and how much it takes time up. So breaking it down so they're like, I know where my money is going to.
Because
you get a quote, and sometimes I even get overwhelmed with quotes about doing this or doing
other
that.
Things,
where's this coming from? So really breaking it down is key because the clients understand and they trust you.
Yeah,
so,
I've always found, more like if you break down a project, say a client gets two quotes, one's 150 line items on Excel and one's 4 line items, they're going to be like, oh shit, man. Like, I'd rather go with the one that's got more information.
Yeah,
like it's
100%.
More clear.
Yeah.
So you obviously seem quite savvy on the administration side, the sales side. Can you see yourself doing your own thing one day?
I hope so.
Working with your boyfriend, partner up, maybe?
We've always thought about that idea, but I think at the moment, because of how big my brand has gotten, it's more than just a little business on the side helping out people who need jobs done. It's become such a big brand that I might actually start heading into. I do want to be a project manager one day. I'd love to do that. But also doing what I'm doing now, being on the tools, but then when I goes home, sitting down and doing the marketing side of things, collabing with companies, getting my name out there. So I think one day we might do that. I'm never going to say never because you don't know what tomorrow holds. But I'm a big believer that I will be a supervisor, but still do the marketing and building up my brand on the side.
Cool.
So
what is your kind of overall goal with your Instagram profile? What do you ultimately want to promote through that?
The best way I describe it is when I leave this earth that I want to be known. I want to leave a footprint of me helping someone out or doing something good to someone so they're like, this person helped me. I just want to be remembered for the good that I put in back into the community.
Exactly.
So if that means that with Carpentry Australia, we do Helping Hand Days. So
that's
through
cool.
St. Vincent de Paul, we nominate someone who needs something done to their house dramatically that they can't afford. It's a big nomination. It's a big Helping Hand Day. So everyone volunteers their time.
Yep.
Doing stuff like that, putting back into the community where people need help the most is where I see myself.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Just doing that because you feel good in yourself that you've helped someone that really needs it the most.
Do you get many other girls, say, about to leave school, asking you about your process and stuff?
Yes, that's when I hand out my number and I'm like, all right,
give me a call.
Yes, I'm always in for a chat. I've dealt with a lot of those actually, and I've also done a couple of online Zoom talks with big companies like the Future is Bright program through TAFEs, where I've just done Zoom calls of these girls are reaching out for support, but they don't know where to get the support from. So just talking on Zoom with them, what they want to do, what it's about, what you're getting yourself in for, and just giving them advice. And obviously every pathway is different regardless what you do. It's about how you make it, but just trying to help them out in a way where they're going to take that on.
Nice.
And push for it. So,
That's so good.
Yeah.
What do you like doing outside of building when you're not on the tools?
I'm always doing something on the tools.
Yeah, cool.
We just finished renovating Dad's bathroom, my parents' bathroom. Oh yeah, I would sit home and haven't actually binge watched something on Netflix in a while. I might do that, and then next minute Dad walks in and he goes, "Oh, you want to renovate the bathroom?" And I'm like,
"All right."
Oh, okay, no worries. So we're always doing something on the tools, both of us,
awesome.
And my family as well. So because my brother's an electrician, parents have no trade, no background in.
How did you guys all end up in trades?
Know.
It's crazy.
My parents are like, we're so lucky. If anything happens, we've got two tradies. We've got an electrician and a carpenter. So they've got no background experience in the building industry. So having that is good. They're like,
cool.
Oh, we love it. So we're always doing something, or if we're not working or doing something on the tools, we're always camping. Me and my family are really close.
Yeah, Aussie's so nice for that, man.
Yeah, I just pack up in the caravan and away you go for the weekend.
There you go.
Yeah.
Touch wood, you haven't had any injuries. What's the worst close miss you've had on site?
I've had injuries.
Oh, no.
I've only had two, no, I wouldn't say major ones, but I've had two ones. When I was a first year, it was probably my second week on.
Yeah. Oh no, that's not
and
a good
entry. I wasn't allowed to use the framing gun, but he goes, oh yeah, give it a go. The boss wasn't there, and as I've used it, it's gone straight into my hand and it's pushed my skin up there. Oh. Lucky I didn't hit any nerves or tendons.
Did you pull it out straight away?
No, I had to leave it in
there.
Yeah,
you gotta wait. It's the I think it's the heat or the glue on the nail.
Yeah, it's actually that the cardboard that keeps it together. Oh, sometimes, especially if you have any tendon shot or whatever, regardless whether it's new, the heat and that glue of the paper can actually get infected in your hand. So just left it, took it out. I was off for 2 weeks and back on it. And then when I was in Canberra working with the other company, we're doing roof sheets and we didn't correspond correctly. Oh, like 3, 2, 1 and he's chucked it and I've still had it and it's gone sliced straight through the glove to my finger. So cut a nerve there, but
part of the game, good. Eh?
Yeah. So, but other than that, touch wood, we haven't had anything else, and that was years ago.
How big is your company on, and you guys big on like toolboxes and before you're starting new tasks? Yeah, explain that.
Yes, we regularly, our boss will get us together just with carpentry, all about carpentry, bring us together, and we'll have a breakfast at the display, just talk, how's everyone going, just check up. He even calls us regularly to say, how are you going on site? How's everything going?
Yeah,
because
that's important,
when 100% checking on everyone's well-being and mental health, or just saying, how are you doing today? What's work been like? Just checking up on that really makes a difference to someone's life.
Yeah.
But also because he's not on site and we're working with a different company because he subbies us guys off. It's practically the company, other companies' responsibility to do the toolbox talk.
Yep.
So, but we try to do that once a week, if not every second week, or they'll come around and be like, all right, what are we doing today? How are you feeling? By the way, we've got these people rocking up on site, so please make sure that you've got your hi-vis on, this.
Yep.
So just making sure that we're up to date with all the safety requirements, our tools are tagged. And then, and then we have our boss that checks up on us, how we're going.
Good, man. So, sounds like a good culture, right?
Oh, it's amazing. It's really nice to be around people like that because you're going to work and you want to feel good.
It's a tough slog. Like, the trades can be tough, man. I feel like not enough. I think there's definitely a decline in not enough people getting into it. And as from a pricing perspective, you know, what we see all the time is builders putting out quotes. There's not as much competition and work, which, man, I don't know. In my eyes, I just see less people coming into it. They're getting more and more scarce, but their rates are going up. And I think like trading, well, pretty much now, man, they are like the next lawyers and doctors. Like I just think they're more and more in demand.
So the builders, there's a high demand for them at the moment. It's like our population's growing, but...
Yeah, not enough tradies.
Yeah, not enough tradies to keep up with it. So
That's all good. I think that's all about we've got there. If anyone wants to get in touch with you about apprenticeship stuff, how do they get in touch with you? What's your IG handle?
Through my Instagram. So I've got an email based in my bio as well. So Sydney Builderchick, if you've got any questions, shoot them out to me. I'm always happy to answer. I'm always checking my socials when I get home from work and always having updated videos throughout the day of what I'm doing, even though it's not interesting. I'm still letting the audience know, hey, I'm doing a fix out today, so stay tuned.
That's good. Cool. Well, thanks for coming in.
No,
nice to meet you as well. Much appreciated.
Yes, thank you.